Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
What are we talking about today, Ashley?
Well, I think, as usual, we're going to run everybody through our post-session notes and talk about what happened in the water this week. And then we're going to slide on over to Injustice of the Week, where you talk about whatever's aggravating you. We'll dive a little deeper. And this week, we're going to be talking about identity. That's a big one.
Oh, you say it kind of funny. Identity.
I'm trying to teach my young children to enunciate.
Next, we have the God waters.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, we all get homework.
You know what? That's how we grow, Laurel.
Okay. Put a nice spin on it.
Why don't you talk about what happened in the water this week? Let's rock and roll.
Okay. So this last weekend, we had the Wrightsville Beach Longboard Club contest at Wrightsville Beach, of course. And we raffled off a longboard. So for $5 raffle ticket, you had the chance to win a 9-foot Murphy surfboard. Somebody won. I'm always just donating. When I buy raffle tickets, it's a donation because I never win. I know people who have won multiple boards. Tio Tony, he's won 2 surfboards. He won a Vector surfboard a few weeks ago at the surf film festival, and he won one at the WBLA when I was around.
So. Well, how many tickets does he buy?
I don't know. I don't think he buys that many. And I saw other people buy like $100 worth of tickets.
Yeah.
I hope they won something. Or at least that was a very nice donation.
It was a nice donation. You have to go into that feeling like it's a donation, right?
Right. Exactly. That's like gambling. Don't gamble more than you expect to lose, right?
Which means I don't gamble.
Me either. I don't even buy lottery tickets.
No.
That's too much of a gamble. I want that dollar. Okay. But the most fun part of the contest, besides selling raffle tickets, that was my job, was watching the toes on the nose portion of the contest. You had to take, like whoever was supervising had to measure each person's board, had to be measured and 18 inches off the nose. They put a big, bright piece of pink tape. And so when that person caught a wave, they had to walk up to the nose and stay on the nose. So the length of time that you were on the nose was how you won that part of the contest.
That's called hanging 10.
Hanging 10, hanging 5, hanging your pinky toe. It didn't matter as long as you were above that tape.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they make it look so easy. And
yeah, that's easy, right? I've seen it 100 times.
It's not easy at all. Matter of fact, a confession, I've never gotten my toes on the nose.
But have you ever made it a goal?
Well, okay, you got me there. I mean, I've thought that I would make it a goal, and then I ended up not making it a goal.
Right.
Like one summer, I said, "Oh, I'm gonna walk to the nose," but then did I use my longboard? No, I used my fun board. You really have to have the right board on the right wave, with the right skill, I guess. But anyway, so
you're very fun oriented, though.
Which means I'm on a fun board, right?
Yeah. And for everybody at home that hasn't been to our website to check out photos, Laurel is fun sized. She reminds me of Halloween candy. How it's perfectly proportioned.
Look short next to Ashley. but I would just say, if you want to walk to the nose, you have to practice on the right board. But if you're a beginning surfer, you just need to get out on the wave anytime you can. So even if it's only an hour of a lunch break and you have to drive to the beach and the drive off of the beach takes 30 minutes of it, that's 30 minutes you get to be in the water to practice surfing, practice paddling, no matter what the water's doing, whether there's a good wave or a crappy wave, it helps you surf better each time you go out.
So you would say just do it?
Just do it.
I think that slogan's taken.
Oh, man.
You might need to rework it.
Okay. Well, how about you, Ashley? Tell me about your water week.
I'm not going to be in the water anytime soon, girl.
No.
I know. My ear is still squeezed from last time. It's, I think, maybe the worst that it's ever been. I'm going today to see my buddy Bruce. He's an audiologist, and he also happens to be the first person that Ren and I started freediving with.
Oh, so he knows a lot about it.
Yeah, he knows everything about the history with my ears and about freediving in general.
Okay.
So he's not just going to give me some wax, de-wax medicate. Was this the last time my ear got squeezed? The doctor gave me some wax
to
drops.
Put in your ear?
Like, man, I don't know. Another drops to pull wax out, but that wasn't the issue.
Ear candling. Come on. I got some.
I mean.
So what's the difference in a squeeze and a busted eardrum? Like,
well, when you bust an eardrum, you're diving down and the pressure is gradually increasing. You're not compensating for the pressure and you get a little hole in the eardrum. But I don't have a hole. What I've done is created some kind of barotrauma in the middle ear. And the middle ear is probably filled with fluid right now.
Why don't you just put peroxide in there? Does anybody say just try peroxide?
No, nobody says that.
Okay. Don't try that at home then.
Yeah, everybody that heard that at home, just forget what she said. She's out of her element, guys.
Okay.
But
I do not have MD behind my name.
Oh, it's not in the outer ear anyway. It's behind the eardrum, the issue. It's fluid, I think, has leached from the vessels.
Ew.
In the ear canal and...
Ew.
It's just a bummer, though. It's a bummer because I can only hear out of one of my ears, and I'm nervous about...
Your other ear. I would be, too.
I'm nervous about my good ear. I'm nervous about freediving, which is actually a perfect segue into our...
main topic today.
Yeah. Who am I without freediving? What is left if my ear does get compromised someday?
That's your
someday?
Career. Wow.
What happens?
That's big time.
That's identity.
But before we get to that?
Yes, before we get to that, I want to know what's aggravating you this week. What's the injustice?
The injustice of the week.
Week. Week. Week. Week.
Okay.
Week.
Ashley.
Yeah.
We are going to Puerto Rico for a month this winter.
Well, you're going for a week Saturday, right?
Yeah. But I've got the dog covered for a week.
Okay.
But it's when we go for a month. So we want to take our pupperdoo with us. Fiona wants to come to Puerto Rico. She wants to learn to surf.
Yeah, Fiona needs to go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and meet all the little Puerto Rican doggies.
Right.
So I had no idea that this would even be an issue. In my mind, I just thought, oh, well, we'll get Fiona a little travel case and she'll get shoved in with the luggage. And of course, it's temperature controlled because... surely that's a thing. And Dawn had even told me, oh, yeah, it'll be temperature controlled. Well, guess what, guys? It's not.
Womp, womp,
and you can't even take a dog. Our dog's 37 pounds. Supposedly, you have to get them all in a carrier for under 25 pounds. They have to fit under your seat in front of you, which if you ride any airline as cheap as the one I ride, forget about it.
You go in Spirit.
Spirit Air, girl.
Yeah,
you don't get nothing for free.
No. Well, I mean, you can still put her in the cargo section of the plane, though, yeah?
The only thing, no, Spirit Air does no cargo in the plane, none. But Delta or American, one of them will let you cargo them into the where the luggage is. But if it's over 85 degrees where you're going, no way, they get bumped from the plane. So what are you going to do on the day when suddenly the temperature looks like it's going to be 90 degrees in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Which is normal.
Yeah.
So, and then your dog gets bumped from the plane. What do you do then? You're in Myrtle Beach. Let me tell you, puckered up big time.
I'll tell you what you do.
Yeah. Tell me.
It's actually your idea. I don't want to take credit for it, but you go do what everybody else is doing and make her an emotional support.
She's
animal.
My mental health support. So I looked that up and you can't just put a little vest on her. I have to actually get a certificate signed by a licensed professional, unlike myself, an unlicensed professional. You have to get a document from a licensed professional telling someone that you need a mental health support dog.
But do you have to show that document to anybody?
Yes. And so, I mean, I'm actually going to have to talk to a coworker and see if they will... fashion me a document that
they
says
will.
I have anxiety issues.
They totally will because everybody's dog has this vest.
I know what I could do. I could drink like 5 to 10 cups of coffee that morning.
OMG.
and then go in for some services.
People will definitely think that your condition is bipolar or something manic. Because you're going to look like you're in your manic stage on that plane when your head's bobbing around and you're so excited and smiling. And Fiona's looking at you like, yeah, mom.
OK, so this is my solution. OK, so that's if I have to do that, I think I can talk someone into fabricating a document for me. But what I would have liked to have done and called and asked was, can I buy a ticket for my dog?
No.
Why can't I let my dog have a seat? Then she can stay with, like, we have Don, myself, and my dog in a little three thing, and she can stay right there.
Can I go ahead and tell you why that's a terrible idea?
CBD oil.
Listen, not everybody's dog is a D-O-double-G. You know what I mean?
A sweet little muffin.
Not everybody
is a cinnamon muffin.
Little doodleberry over there. And people think their dogs are, though. And they're going to walk on that plane. They're going to be smelling like dog. They're going to be pooping in the seats. They're going to be barking.
Okay. You just ruined that for me.
I mean, kids, babies, that's one thing. But everybody's
dog. If your baby can yell and scream, why can't my dog? Okay, it might be time to.
I need you to
dive a little deeper.
I need you to take that back real quick, though.
I can't.
Because the babies and the dogs are not equivalent, people.
You're right.
Newsflash.
Yeah.
You're right, though. It's time to dive deeper.
I mean, your baby's going to poop and a diaper's going to stink. Where are you going to change the baby?
I'm going to change him right there in the seat.
Okay. Well, so that's what I'm going to do for my dog.
Is your dog going to wear a diaper?
She's good. She doesn't need one. She's been potty trained.
Have we gone too far with this?
It's time to, yes, move on, please.
Yeah, let's move it on. We're in the poop.
Poop of the week.
Poop of the week.
Oh, no.
All right, let's dive deeper.
Okay.
Let's talk about our identities, Laurel. And let's talk about the things in our life that have made us question our identity or made us sabotage our identity. All those things. I'll go ahead and tell you one of my most recent encounters.
Go ahead.
Well, part of it's happening right now. But anyway, let's go backwards. Let's go back to when I became pregnant with Ani. When I became pregnant with Ani,
I had two, three world records.
I had just done my third world record. A few months later, I became pregnant with Ani.
She's wearing a crown.
Right. Yeah, right. Anyway.
She has her medals around her neck.
It's right a now. Real small pond, guys. It's a real small pond. Anyway. When that happened, when I became pregnant with her, I was immediately elated, of course. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a baby, blah, blah, blah.
Whoop, whoop.
But then about halfway through that pregnancy, I started panicking because all my competitors were getting deeper and deeper. And they were training and they were traveling and they were doing all this
stuff.
They
were leaving you in the dust.
They were leaving me in the dust. And I wasn't just out of freediving for 9 months while I was pregnant.
You couldn't jump right back in as soon as you had the baby.
No, I couldn't jump right back in. And not only that, I had to slowly work my way back to depth. And it took a while to acclimate again and to do all those things. But it made me think, well, who am I now? Am I dried up? Am I washed up? I mean, I had a friend tell a reporter, I think she's done free diving.
Ooh, and you saw that in print.
Well, I didn't see it in print. The reporter came and asked me about it. And I'm like, why would anybody say that? Why would they make me question?
Yeah.
My identity when I'm already questioning that.
Right.
And so that was tough, man. That was tough.
She was hoping you weren't going back.
Well, I hate to say it like that, but maybe that was the case.
That you showed her.
Well, I came back.
I did.
I came back. And then when I was about, I had set a few more national records and then bam, pregnant with Cape. But this time it was easier, Laurel, because when I became pregnant with Ani, I didn't have a relationship with God. That stuff happened.
Oh, it hadn't been that long.
No, it has not been that long. I'm new. She just turned
Christian.
Six. Yeah, I would say for 6 years now. That's when I could start my clock. And I didn't have that. With Cape, I did.
The eternal clock.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for distracting me. Now I don't know where the heck I was.
When Cape came along,
I jumped back in easier, and the dives and freediving actually became more fun because I realized at that point that freediving is not what defines me. I had a much healthier sense of my identity, a much convictions that were stronger than just, oh, my ability to set freediving records.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is easy to get wrapped up in something. I remember as a younger person right out of college, I started working in the film industry and had a fun job. I mean, I was out on the sets with famous musicians playing in their little director's chair while we had lunch. And I mean, it was pretty razzmatazz. I don't know. I was in awe.
What? Wait, what? What did you just say?
I'm not going to say it again. Okay. So, but, okay. And so I worked in the film business for about 7-8 years. And I mean, each year it just got more crazy. I was doing drugs and just, it was hard enough of a life at 15 hours a day of a job. Then you had a little bit of sleep. And then if you partied a little bit, you really didn't have any sleep. And it wasn't sustainable. And so when I came out of the film business, I went back to waitressing. I worked at a little health food store. And, you know, suddenly it's not as fun to say I was a waitress as it was to say, oh, you know, I work in the camera department of on a film. Yeah. Oh, who have you worked with? Oh, tell me some famous people that you've met.
Yeah, people are immediately impressed.
Yeah, and really they shouldn't be, because it's not, it sounds glamorous, but it's not a glamorous job. It was a lot of heavy lifting. And but anyway, so I felt like, and actually at that time in my life, you know, I'd always been a person that went on diets and kind of defined myself by, I think a lot of women do, like how you look.
And we all struggle with that.
And I had come back to God. I was out of the film industry, so that was weighing on me. Then I was like, man, what do I want to give up for Lent? Because I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and that's kind of old school stuff. And I heard dieting. I was like, what? I wouldn't have come up with that. And so actually I did, and I put on some weight. And so not only did I not have my cool film job, but I was fat.
But you had something different.
I did. And I felt like God was showing me, this is who you are. And this is not you're not defined by how much you weigh. You're not defined by what job you have. You're defined by my love. You're defined as a child of God. And it was a lesson I felt like that I had learned until recently. When
you mean God sent you a little reminder?
Yeah, like I don't know if he didn't send it. I don't think God gives us any kind of bad stuff, but because all good things are from God.
Maybe he's using.
But he's using some mean ass plantar fasciitis in both feet that basically kept me out of the water surfing for a year to help me remember my identity is not, I'm not a surfer. That's not who I am. It's part of who I am. It's a piece of what makes me Laurel, but it's not really who I am. All said and done, that's going to end one day. There's going to be a day I won't be able to surf.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's the last day I have on Earth.
Or maybe you'll be like Patrick Swayze from Point Break.
Yeah. Oh, where yeah, to go out on a wave.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gosh, I don't think I'm brave enough.
That's
for
you,
that.
Laurel. That's all. That's totally what I see when I see you. Well, it's funny, though, that you think. Well, it's funny that right now we're both getting a little reminder our compromised situations as a reminder to check our identities, which is so. It's actually super cool that we're doing identity this week. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to.
Me either. But it was better than sacrifice.
Yeah. I wanted to do sacrifice. Laura wanted to do identity. So we did identity. And I'm glad we did, because it's bringing all these things kind of to light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's helpful to look at. I did read somewhere. I can't remember what it was, but it was I think it was from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. But
you love that junk.
Yeah. Well, it invited you to do a eulogy. Like, what would you want said about you at the end of your life?
Well, if we wait, maybe we'll use that in the homework segment this week.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds good. You know what? I think the take home message here is, people, buddies at home, check yourself and let's start thinking about what defines us. Because if you're defining if being an Olympic medalist is how you define yourself, the majority of your life is going to be lived in a depressed state because that's a very small, short, minute period that you're experiencing that kind of success.
Or if you want to look eternally youthful. Like, yeah. Look at all the people kind of chasing that dream that I want to look young. I want to look hot. I want to have a hot body. And there's nothing wrong with being beautiful or having a nice body and being healthy. I think there's a nice thing about being healthy as long as you can. But I think we need to check what's underlying that. Mm-hmm. Is it an insecurity? Is it a not knowing who we are? Or is it... just a bonus on top of the fact that you have so much value.
Wrapped up in the things that are changing all the time instead of maybe the eternal.
Oh.
Spooky. Let's tread into the God waters, Laurel.
All right. Galatians 3 verse...
Whoa. Did you misspell Galatians?
Yeah, I did. That's why there's a red line under there. How about eulogy down below? I think you did that.
Yeah, but that's a hard word.
Okay.
All right.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith." I mean, I first want to say, how cool is it that we're not sons and daughters of God because we're perfectly righteous or always doing good stuff or like
Jewish,
a free diver, a surfer, or, you know, you've won awards. So now you get to be a son and daughter of God
in the club.
Yeah. It's through faith. So all you have to do is believe. So this kind of took me back to a time when I first came pretty much after I'd left the film business and decided that living for myself had kind of sucked or wasn't all that great at the end of the day. And came back to God and had surrounded myself with some really cool God friends, people that were in the church. But you know, what was weird is I just never felt like I fit in. I was either too religious for some or not religious enough for others.
You were insecure in your new identity.
And I was comparing myself to...
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think? Do you feel like that was something you went through?
Dude, totally. Our stories are very, very similar. It's like we had this point in our lives where we were just completely convicted and junk wasn't working out. And everything after that point changed and got better and got stronger and all those things. But I still feel like I'm in my infancy. Mm-hmm. I have stopped comparing myself as much, but totally I feel like I'm in my infancy as a believer. And I was insecure at first. I didn't have scripture memorized. I wasn't, I didn't have all these things that made me think people were better Christians than me.
Well, here's something that helped me figure out who I was in Christ. A picture in horticulture.
All right.
I'm a figaholic. Love me some figs. Mm. And I can gorge myself under the fig tree in the summer.
We've had a lot of good times picking figs.
Yeah. And I will certainly pillage some Wrightsville Beach figs. Yes, I know where those trees are. So I was downtown at a farmer's market and this guy was selling his fig saplings. So we were chatting about figs and I told him how much I love them. And he told me about a guy that he knew who lived out in the country, had this huge fig tree that was partially enclosed by a greenhouse and had collected figs from all over the world. He had over 100 varieties of figs.
What?
And he grafted them on to the one tree. And so every summer when that tree fruited, it didn't just fruit this one kind of fig. It fruited hundreds of different kinds of figs on the same tree.
He had over 100 on one tree?
Yeah.
Dude, that is your Mecca. You should go.
He wouldn't give me the guy's name. I was
come on.
He said he was a super recluse. That guy has issues. But anyway, he loves figs, so he can't be all bad. But that revelation kind of exploded in my mind. It immediately came to me that I was grafted onto God's tree. And he didn't want me to be like any other fruit on that tree. He wanted me to be me on that tree. He made me and created me to be on the tree, and he wants me to be all that he created me to be, and not certainly not like Joe Schmo on the other side of the tree.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and you're all part of the same tree.
Yeah.
I just love the image that that conjures in the head. You know, you see this great big tree, and then from it, all different colors and sizes and varieties and tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that super religious person. There's nothing wrong with the somewhat, maybe they cuss a little bit. Hint, hint. Christian. Anyway, so yeah. Guys, that's all I got for the diva. So,
man, that's good though, Laurel, because going back to the actual scripture, it just reminds us you're all sons and daughters of God, and that's supposed to be our primary identity.
Yeah,
not those other things. You're a child of God first, and then from that you see other parts of your life developing and bearing fruit for his kingdom.
Right. Which isn't all that cool sometimes.
Nope.
Not like surfing.
Sometimes that junk is tough.
Let's give out some homework.
Well.
So what's
you already know what yours is.
What is mine? Oh, wait. I know what mine is. Mine is submitting my contest entry.
Yeah.
And yours is the same.
Yeah, even though I don't want to.
But she's going to, because that's what we talk about here, is doing what's hard.
Yeah, but I don't want to, because being honest, you didn't give me all of the accolades on my first unedited draft that I was expecting. And so it must be garbage.
It's great that, like, my first draft, I just assumed would be a New York Times bestseller. And it's, let's say, 20 drafts of the first book that still isn't published. So.
But do you see how hard it is to live that way? The way that I live, expecting everything to be a freaking masterpiece.
Well, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. But the bottom line is, if you don't, this is part of the growth process that makes you a good author. Okay. Anyway, so hey, for you guys, wouldn't it be kind of cool to write your own eulogy?
All right. How long does it have to be?
How long do you want people to listen to it? So, one paragraph. One paragraph that encapsulates what would you want said about you? What would you want people to recognize around you? That you were a loving wife, you were a person that helped others, or, you know, what would you want said about you?
Or you're a piece of crap that does everybody wrong. Come in contact with. Let's be honest.
Ooh.
You know what though? This homework is going to be good because it'll help people define what their values are and bring to the surface how they identify themselves.
We're going to do it too.
Another writing assignment.
You can't have too many.
All right. Well, I'll do it. We're all going to write our eulogies, and
we're going to read them next time.
We're going to read them, and also we're going to submit our contest entries tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Okay, guys. And remember, we are your community now.
So
leave your dreams with us by commenting. Leave your dreams. Leave your eulogies. Leave any comments that you have at postsessionpodcast.com. You can also comment wherever you listen to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Castcom, or whatever that is, wherever. And if you really like the podcast, think about checking out our Patreon site.
Yeah.
Most of all, thank you so much for listening.
But wait, I got to tell them something.
What?
At Patreon, if they decide to invest in us at a certain level, I forget what level it is, they get your DVD.
Oh.
The documentary that you made. Get to see her documentary, which I've never seen.
You've never seen it?
Yeah, maybe I have. I can't remember.
You probably have.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that great, so that's why she's can't remember.
Gosh. Debbie, that's my job.
You're rubbing off on me.
I know, right? You're supposed to be like, yeah, it was so good and informative and
it won some awards. All right. Well, most of all, thank you, friends, for listening.
Thank you so much.